Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. I'm continuing my conversation with Rick Solon, one of the owners of Great Barrington Airport in the Berkshires, and the person who instilled and continues to flame the fire of aviation love in me. And anytime I need any sort of a polishing and retraining, Rick and I go up together. Welcome again, Rick. Thank you for staying with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Rick, I know that for me, Great Barrington Airport, as we spoke earlier, has a great sense of camaraderie, great sense of community, and a wonderful involvement in community in the Berkshires. And it's been an airport that has been in use since 1909. And in fact, if you recall, I told you that one of our diners, an elderly lady, flew out of Great Barrington when it was still a grass field. Mm-hmm. So it's been part of the Great Barrington community and the larger Berkshires community. And then there are some issues because, you know, hangars, which are like garages for airplanes, are badly needed, especially for an area like the Berkshires, where it has distinct four season, you know, the autumn, the spring, and all that comes with that, and then needless to say, the snow during the winter months. And there are some issues and disagreements, and above all, misunderstandings that I'm hoping that you and I would be able to bring forward so our listeners can better understand what it is that the airport needs and what it is that the airport is doing, and hopefully we can shatter some of the misconceptions.
Okay.
One of the number one misconceptions is that the airport wants to expand, and the other major misconception is that, oh, it's a rich man's club. I can assure you that I'm not a rich man, but I love coming to the Great Barrington Airport and fly. So I'll let you bring forward some of the issues.
We're trying to just put six garages up for the airplanes. New England weather is some of the worst in the country, because we get the definite four seasons. We get the heat in the summertime, and we get the snow and the ice and hail and tornadoes like everybody else. And airplanes can start off as little as $20,000, and we have an airplane here that's worth close to $1 million. And you have an investment like that, you want to put it in the garage to protect the value of the aircraft versus being exposed to the elements, the snow, the wind, the sun, the wind, and, you know, hail and other things. So what we're doing is we have community hangars right now, and each hangar holds six airplanes. And if the guy in the corner wants to come out right now, I have to pull five airplanes out, which takes time away from my other business, me teaching people like Serge how to fly and doing reviews with other people. I have to pull the airplanes out to get that one guy out. And then
I think what is also really interesting to say that it's not, you're not just pulling out the air, it's a very tight space, and the airplanes are put together. So it really takes a lot of effort, a lot of concentration. So taking an airplane that's in the back of the hangar that wants to come out can take as much as an hour of careful, diligent, laborious work, because you have to pull all the other airplanes out to make sure that nothing is scratched, nothing is damaged.
Yeah, the airplane that's out front,
in other words.
The airplane that Yeah, the airplane that's out the most out front is the $1 million airplane. So we have to move that out, and then we have to put that in an area where nobody's going to hit that, and then we have to pull the airplanes out, and then that takes up ramp space that we need for the other airplanes. So if we had the hangars, it is everybody would have their own little garage. They open up the door, and they can pull the airplane out, and then I wouldn't have to do that. And right now, all my airplanes are exposed to the elements, and I was going to be, you know, once the hangars are built, I'd take my airplanes and I'd put them in the hangars to protect them. But right now, if everybody had an individual garage, you know, it makes it easier for me, time-consuming wise, and it's safer for the airplanes too, because we have a thing called hangar rash. You put it back, you hit a wall, you know, little things, you know, the tug slips or something. And then, you know, every time you move an airplane that's not under its own power, you have a chance of scratching it. And then that's the liability on our part. And we just, you know, right.
All of us who live in the Northeast, I don't have a garage. So every time it snows, getting into my car is, I think twice about whether or not I need to use the car or not because of the snow and the ice. And we need to also let our listeners understand that just a very thin layer of ice on an airplane is extremely dangerous.
You can't fly the airplane with ice on it.
Yeah, you can't. Even the slightest layer of ice. But also, more importantly, another issue is the oil in the airplane and what the change in the temperatures do to the oil in the engine, and how it can really damage the engine if the oil is really cold and viscous. And as a result, you know, your investment, whether it's a $50,000 investment or a $500,000 investment, you're ruining it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the hangars, they also have raised issues. Some of your neighbors have raised issues of environmental impact, which to me seems a very misconstrued and misunderstood idea that, building more hangars may cause more contamination. Could you clarify why that will not be the case?
Well, right now, an airplane could be sitting on the grass, you know, and the airplanes are moving parts, and you could have a gas leak that's going into the ground. If it's in a hangar, it's on a concrete slab, so the concrete will absorb the hangar. Most people will put a mat underneath their airplane to absorb any oil drippings or any gas drippings. And then, you know, the sun, the rain hitting the aircraft, you know, oxidizes it, and that goes into the groundwater. So if it was in a hangar, it's like your car. It's protected from the elements, and if it's dripping any type of fluid, mostly they don't, but every once in a while something could happen where you get a little oil leak or a little gas leak. And right now it's on the grass, and it could go into the ground, as little as it is. But if it's on a concrete slab, it would underneath a hangar, it would protect the airplane and protect the environment. And the runoff from the hangars is in from the roofs and also from the tarmac around it is going into a swale. We have an engineered swale that's with different types of soil in it to filter out the contaminants, and the water goes back into the groundwater.
Right, and then, another thing that as pilots we are trained from day one is to be very organized, very meticulous, very clean. I mean, you cannot be a pilot if you're not very diligent and organized.
Yeah, and one of the biggest
hangars, all the hangars that I have witnessed in other airports are meticulously maintained. Because pilot, I mean, I know that I have become more meticulous since I've become a pilot.
Yeah. One of the other conceptions is, how we have to check the fuel for contaminants every time we go flying?
Right.
In the past history, people used to just throw the gas in the air, it evaporated, get in the ground. But that was done away with here at Great Barrington when Walt was alive, because gas being as expensive as it is, and we're taking out, you know, a couple shots of glass, of a couple ounces of fuel every time we check for water. If the fuel is good, we pour it right back in the tank rather than into the ground. And we stopped that practice a long, long time ago. ago, and people are still under the impression that we just, after we check the gas, instead of putting it back in the tank, we throw it into the air or onto the ground, and that is not so. And if there is water in it, we take it over to the shop, and we recycle the fuel for ourselves, for our machines, and the maintenance guys, what they do is they spray the engines down with fuel, and that cleans it off, and they use that fuel, and they can separate the water from there. But we don't put any fuel back in on the surface or in the air, because it's at $4 a gallon, we don't want to waste it. And then the other thing that here environmentally with the airport is we're the only airport in this area, pretty much on the East Coast, besides there's another small airport in Massachusetts that's selling no leaded fuel. And it comes from Indiana, and there's no lead in the fuel. So it's a cleaner burn, and there's no lead deposits, from the aircraft at all.
I didn't know that. That's wonderful to know. Also, I think the community, the neighbors that are a little bit in an uproar about this, I think they don't seem to appreciate all that the airport offers to the region. I have witnessed many individuals from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Southern Connecticut, that come up and you offer them courtesy cars for the day to go to Hillsdale or to go to Hudson, New York, or to even go to the museums or go to Great Barrington. So it generates a lot of economic activity because pilots come, they do, you have a wonderful mechanic, Jeff, who is known in the area for his skills. So some pilots like to bring their airplane to be inspected by Jeff. Tell us a little bit more about that. You hold for the Rotary Club, generates income there.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? We have three courtesy vehicles. We have a truck and two cars. And most of the people landing in Great Barrington are going to the town of Great Barrington. They're going to the or Stockbridge, up to the Norman Rockwell Museum, to the Divine Mercy Chaplet up there. They go to the town of Great Barrington to shop, because the town of Great Barrington is a wonderful, eclectic town. If you can't find it in Great Barrington, you basically can't find it anywhere in New England, because Great Barrington is a wonderful, wonderful town. And as part of the airport, we are part of that town. And for years, like 10 years, we had to cancel it this year because of COVID, but for 10 or 12 years, we've had the Rotary fly-in in the summertime, and that has raised anytime from $12,000 to $20,000 each year for local scholarships for kids in high school in Great Barrington, Lee, and the Housatonic, and Sheffield. So the Rotary Club for Great Barrington is included in that, and they make anywhere from $12,000 to $20,000 a year, and that money goes directly to kids' scholarships in this direct area. We also... LifeStar is a big part of the airport here. They come in here 2 to 3 times a week. Sometimes they'll go a week without coming here. Then they'll be a 3 or 4 times. And, and I've seen 2 or 3 in a day where people are cared for at the Fairview Hospital and they need urgent care. So they stabilize them and they send them to either Bay State Medical, Hartford Hospital, or Albany Medical Center. And they can't land a helicopter at the hospital because it's terrain, so they use our airport, and the National Guard uses it for preparedness. When they had the tornado here 20 years ago, they landed here and they brought supplies and they did stuff, and they have to come in and practice the takeoff and landings here, just and so they're ready at any time. The state police uses the airport for training. The fire department uses it for spills, for fuel spills, but not just for the airport. If you have a fuel spill at a gas station in town, they can't block off the streets. But they do is they set up a time and they can simulate a gas spill at a gas station, and they do the recovery and the sanitation and the protective services that's needed to prevent a major Phil becoming a major disaster. So we let them use the airport for that. The Josh Billings uses the airport. There's races that Run for Cancer uses the airport for parking for the start and the end of the race. The W.E. Du Bois home site is right up the road, but there's no room on Route 23. So we, for years, we've let them use the airport, and then they have the little shuttle buses from the airport to the W.E. Du Bois home site when they have any type of function for the national hero that we have here in Great Barrington. The forestry department uses it. They can't put all the cars up on Mount Washington, so they park their cars here at the airport, and then they take buses up to the thing there. So the airport itself, and we offer the town, you know, anybody wants a picnic, they come out here. We've had weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know, people are complaining about this, complaining about that, but it's open. We had one person that he wanted his wedding to be a reception at the airport. And then also the Berkshire Film Festival had their 10-year anniversary here a couple years ago, and the governor of Massachusetts showed up, and we've had senators and congressmen show up for that party there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful thing for the Berkshire Film Festival.
I remember that. Sadly, we are running out of time, but I want to recap about this conversation with you, Rick, that not only is Great Barrington Airport not only offers aviation enthusiasts like myself and many, many others in the area a home in which they can continue to learn and foster deeper understanding of flying, but Great Barrington Airport offers a lot, not only to the community, but also to the infrastructure of the town of Great Barrington. As you said, the police department, the fire department, most importantly, the hospital. But for me also, I think what is really wonderful to see this, because when I was a 16-year-old kid, I was not as focused. And to see so many young women and men, not only from Berkshire School, not only from Great Barrington, but from the area, to come and find themselves in a setting, in an environment in which they learn responsibility, they learn flying, and they develop this strong sense of themselves rather than being outside, which, in my opinion, outweighs any impact that the noise makes, the noise of an airplane taking off or landing, or the development of the hangar. I hope that this segment will allow our listeners to have a clearer idea of what you do there. Thank you for listening to Flavor Matters. This is Serge, and thank you very much.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.